Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Kings. Special word today. In the series Exemplary Living, I don't preach things that come out of a little preacher magazine with 52 messages a year. I don't have a catalog that I get that then gives me the word that I should preach, the next thing that should be spoken or taught to you as a congregation. We are unashamedly a spirit-filled church. And love the move of the Spirit of God, make no apologies for it. There are times where I'll depart from a series to bring a special word based upon my conversation and relationship with God as He directs me as a leader of this great church, along with a bunch of great, great leaders. Now, I had prepared another message, and it's good. I mean, the word's good. In fact, I'm going to say it's great, because to quote Pastor Karen, God's word is great. But as I tucked myself in and went to sleep, I had a repeated dream of preaching the message I'm about to preach to you, which is something I have preached before, found in 2 Kings 6. And in the preaching of the message in my dream, I saw supernaturally people being transformed while I preached. I believe that happened in the first service. And I do believe it's going to happen to you in this service. You should never come to church just with a ho-hum spirit. You know what I mean by that? Well, we're just going to church. And then after we're going to go buffet our bodies and then we're going to go home. And you don't come to church like that. Come leaning in. Come hungry. Come thirsty. He'll touch you. He'll fill you in direct proportion to the hunger that you have. So oftentimes we've been fed with that which does not satisfy. And we can come to church in a religious way and not really receive everything that God has. Hunger is one of the keys of awakening and revival. And if you're not hungry, then something's wrong. In fact, the very word soul is the word nephesh. It means actually soul, but it also means to be thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. 2 Kings chapter 6, notes being passed out. Just about done with that. If you didn't get a copy, raise your hand. They'll bring that to you, and then we'll stand and read God's word. About a week ago, the Lord spoke to me to preach a message on binding and loosing to our churches in India. They're in process of becoming our churches in India. There's hundreds of them, and we're endeavoring to see how to adopt them in a way that's healthy. And so we've been meeting for some 20 weeks, I think, now, mentoring them on a weekly basis. And we are one church in many locations. Say that. One church, many locations. There's over 700 kings around the world. This is just one of them. There's one in the Eagle River as well. We will plant more and more. In fact, it is our deep desire and goal and vision to, by the end of 2025, to hit 1,200 congregations. We're at 700. Say, how are you going to hit 1,200 by the end of 2025? I have no idea. But when I first got here, there was like three. So it's kind of amazing what God has done just in my time being a part of this church. It's been in existence far longer than I've been a part of it. Some 45 years. I've been a part of it for 30. But this is amazing what God will do with vision. Are you all got notes? Stand up on your feet with me. And so this message and text I have preached from before, but it's altered based on my dream. And for you, especially now in the second service, let's go ahead and read God's word. 2 Kings chapter 6, the 6th verse. You ready? Let's read God's word as soon as I find it. On my phone. Okay, here we go. The man of God, New International Version. The man of God asked, verse 13. Chapter 6, verse 13. I'm okay. Are you okay? Good. Bump your neighbor. Say chapter 6, verse 13. All right, here we go. Are you ready? You're not ready. Okay, here we go. So he said, go and see where it is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he's in Dothan. Next verse. And when the servants of the man of God arose and went out early, verse 15, 14. Let's start over. Lift your hands to Jesus. Father, help. Help me. Help my brain. Help me. Move in power right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings 6, verse 13. Here we go. So he said, go and see where it is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he's in Dothan, verse 14. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servants said to him, alas, my master, what should we do? Verse 16. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I want you to read verse 16. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Everybody say that. Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Thank God. Father, move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the message this morning is a message that's key to the operation of this church. Would you kindly grab my pulpit for me? It's key to the operation of this church, and a special word simply because I had this dream that I preached it twice in my sleep. And the Lord showed me a number of things and something that took place supernaturally when I preached it. You see, I am mindful, and I didn't say this in the first service, but I'll say it now. I'm mindful that as I preach to you, you're here, we're seated here, but we're also seated in heavenly places. And I am mindful that when I preach to you the word, it goes forth and it doesn't return void, that something supernatural is happening here. That literally as God's word goes forth, you're receiving it and it's bringing a change even in the heavenlies, even in the environment, the atmosphere in your life, over the state, even over the nation. God is doing something great in America. God is doing something great in Alaska. God is pouring out his spirit on all people. And we're a part of it in the great Northland, this upper room of the nation. And so this message and text we've preached from many times before. I'll give you the context here, review the context. Elijah's a prophet, and every time the enemies of God make a plan to attack Israel, he knows where they're going to attack. You can go read the previous verses, and he tells the king, and then Israel is ready. And when they show up to attack the king of Aram, their plans are foiled because God has spoken to the prophet. Amos 3 in verse 7, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without first revealing his plan to his servants, to prophets. And so it's like a mole is in the king of Aram's army. And he says, everybody, all right, we have a spy. There's a mole. There's a spy. There's a problem. You got someone's hearing these plans and telling. And they said, no, that's not what's going on. There's a prophet. Everybody say, there's a prophet. There's a prophet. And he hears what you're saying in your bedroom. So they're like, let's get him. I mean, how dumb can you be and breathe? The guy who's hearing from God, the plans that you're bringing upon God's people, and now you're going to go get him. Like God's not going to help the prophet. So he gets, I don't know, a spirit of stupid, as I've said at other times. And he says, let's go and attack him. So they come to the city of Dothan, which is where he is staying, and they surround the city for the purpose of capturing Elijah. And the servant of the man of God, the young man, he's serving, he's the armor bearer, is some language that people use, but he gets up early before the prophet and he looks out and he sees are completely surrounded by the enemy. And his response is one of fear. Elijah's servant responds with fear. So he wakes up his master, and Elijah wakes up, and as his response is completely different, it's one of confidence. And the reason he has confidence is he knows something that his young man, the servant, doesn't know. He sees something that the young man doesn't see. And he says, more are with us than are against us. Lord, I pray, open his eyes. If you could understand what I say to you today, your eyes are going to be opened. God's going to increase your vision and increase your faith. And as a result, you will leave this place filled with faith and confidence and receive some principles by which you can release the power of God in your life, release the kingdom of God in your business, the kingdom of God in your marriage, the kingdom of God in your school, release the power of heaven. But fear does not release the power of heaven. Fear is the place of negativity that God, that the enemy will develop your nightmares. Don't you cave to fear. And if you can't see, and you can give in to fear. Come on, lift a hand to heaven and say, God, open my eyes. For a moment this morning and into the afternoon, if God would open your eyes, everything will be different in your life. See, Pastor, those are some pretty bold statements. It's because I sat in a service when this was preached, and it's what happened to me, and it's what I saw in my dream. You'll be different when you leave today. What is vision? Let's talk about vision. What is vision? Two types of vision. There's a literal vision that's like Ezekiel, literal vision, that he saw a wheel within a wheel. Or like Daniel chapter 7, he had a vision of the Ancient of Days. He literally saw a supernatural appearance of a vision, like a movie. It can be a picture, it can be an image, but it's supernatural. You're not seeing with your natural eyes, you're seeing it supernaturally as God makes that available to you, a literal vision. And the Apostle Paul had a literal vision of a Macedonian man giving him direction on where to go. He wanted to go and preach in Asia, but the Spirit said no. They tarried, they waited, they prayed, most likely fasted, and then God gave him a vision of a Macedonian man pleading for him to come. And from that literal vision, they got direction from the Lord. So maybe you've had a literal vision. I'm thankful I have had those. But there's many people that haven't. It doesn't mean that you're more special or anything. Literally, everyone can have vision, literal vision perhaps. Everyone can have what is called a heart vision or a hope vision. I'm gonna also call it a dream. Everyone can have a heart vision or a hope vision. And you'll see that in scripture too. You'll see Paul in Romans 15 desired a desire, a hope. What sort of things you desire when you pray, believe that you'll have them and you shall. And the reason is that vision is the beginning of a miracle. And vision, literal vision, hope vision. If you can begin to dream today, that is the beginning of a miracle through which God will release faith and release his creative power for you to fulfill that dream, to fulfill that vision. Anybody have any hopes? Anybody got any dreams? You need vision. Without vision, my people cast off restraint. There's no widespread revelation in the day of Samuel. There needs to be a widespread revelation, and that you can live the blessing of God. You can walk in his ways, and God can use you supernaturally to change this world. You're not a victim. Get rid of your victim mentality if you have it. You're a victor. You've got to renew your mind. Romans 12 and 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Metamorpho is the Greek word. It's a picture of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And I don't want to be a butterfly, but I like transformation. No mariposa for me. Vision is the beginning of a miracle. Vision, say it, vision is the beginning of a miracle. And God gives vision before he brings about the miracle. It's one of the ways that he moves. And again, vision can be literal or it can be just a dream in your heart. We say it this way, to the degree that you have a vision is the degree that faith can be released. And when faith is released, miracles are released. It comes to pass. It comes to fruition. My friend Joshua over here, he showed me a picture. He texted me and he said, would you pray a prayer for my friend who's in the hospital and he's not expected to live? So he had a hope that his friend would live. And you were in war together. You were in battle together. He's your brother from the army. And he said, if you'll just pray a prayer. And like, I didn't mean to dodge you. Some different things happened. I got sidetracked. And so I'm going to pray a prayer, a video. So you stayed after me. I think you had to get me one more time. And I recorded a video. And I felt the power of God. And I prayed. And you sent that to him? And what happened?
He cried.
He felt the power.
He just felt like it was coming over him, and he was good to go.
And he showed me a picture of him outside the hospital. He showed me a picture of him. He's in church today or something, right? Come on, God is able to do miracles. That was the hope that he had, a desire he had. Man, I just think if that crazy bald-headed pastor might have prayed, maybe God will touch him and maybe something can happen. And something happened. That is how miracles work. That is how it happens. God gives vision before he brings about the miracle, and you're sitting in one. Vision, the beginning of the miracle. Let's look at some examples. Abraham, Genesis 15 and 5. Let me read it to you. It says God talks to Abraham. He took him outside. God took Abraham outside and he said to him, Abraham, look up at the sky. Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Look up at the sky and see if you can count the stars. What's amazing to me about that verse of scripture is that God speaks to Abraham, and you read it in the English, he just does not get it. But in the Hebrew, it gets it very powerfully. God says to Abraham, Abraham, please. Please, Abraham. You kind of look Abrahamish, except you're very young. So he takes him up and he says, Abraham, I'll be God, you be Abraham. Abraham, please. Why would God say to a man, please? That's what it says. Please look. Please look at the stars. Why would God say, please look? Because there's connectivity between God and Abraham, between God and the man of faith, between God and the man that will hold the vision and believe. God is looking for somebody to believe, and he says, look, thanks, Abe. Look at the stars. Can you count them? No, I can't. More numerable will the stars be. Every time he went outside, he would see the stars. It was vision. It gave him vision. It gave him faith that even though he was past childbirthing years, men don't childbirth, but anyway, he was old. Look at the stars. This is how God works. This is one of the main ways God releases miracles in your life. So if you don't have vision and you don't have hope and you don't have a dream, you will never see innumerable. You'll never see the breakthrough. You'll never see that which God's desire to come to pass. The beginning of the miracle happens when hope is established. Every time Abraham went out, he'd look up and he'd see the stars. And it's not just him. It's all over scripture. You're going to see some examples. Joseph, we preached a whole message on Joseph. Jacob in Genesis 37 with Laban. Laban makes a deal. If you, all the spotted and speckled sheep will be yours. So he goes and he gets 2 sticks and he whittles spotted and speckled sticks and he sticks them in front of the feeding trough. And we know from geneticists that does not change the DNA of spotted and speckled. How many of you know that? But faith does. Faith does change things on a genetic level. In fact, with faith, nothing is impossible. And his faith was these two stupid little sticks would make them change their genetic code. And it worked. It's interesting, faith. Dr. Yonggi Cho, or Cho Yonggi, wrote a book called The Fourth Dimension, mandatory reading for anybody who wants to move into dimension of faith. And he noted one of the illustrations he uses about vision and about faith is he in this particular town in Korea, South Korea, there is these two mountains are identical. And in that town, there's more women have more twins in that town than any other place. And he says it could be because they're constantly looking at twins all the time. It's fascinating. Vision. Moses had a vision. Elijah had a vision. Paul had a vision. Why does God move this way? Well, it's his nature to do so. God speaks. God speaks. God acts. God speaks again. He speaks to Moses. You're going to be the deliverer, burning bush. Here's what you're going to do. Then he sends him to Egypt. He does what God told him to do. He returns to the mountain and gets a whole nother set of instructions. It is exactly how God operates. And if you could get this pattern down in your spirit for your family, for your marriage, for your children, for your business, for your church, pastors online in the Philippines, the 80 plus churches over there, dream. Dream big. Let God give you vision. Come on, say, Lord, open my eyes. Come on, say, Lord, open my eyes. It is how God moves. He speaks, he acts, he speaks again. Each step is a further disclosure of God and his ways. Vision is progressive. I was talking to a businessman after the first service. He said, I think that message might have been for me. I said, well, it was certainly for me too. He said, it's fascinating how I started. It's like the Lord roped me in to do this little thing. It was a sacrifice. Will you take 3 years to do this and this? Had I known it was going to take eight, I probably wouldn't have done it. But oh, what God did in those years. See, God brings and releases vision, but vision is progressive. I'm looking at Minister Toby and Dee. You started in your house with a few little kids coming over for a daycare. Had a dream to do a day. How many you got now? Five of them. The finest daycare operations in all of the valley. Powerful, anointed ministry that's also a business. It started small, but vision is progressive. We call it in church circles, which is a term that's coined by Dr. Morocco, progressive apostolic vision. God gives vision, and then it grows. Vision's progressive. Say it with me. Vision's progressive. It's God's way of saying that we're important to him. Come on, say, I'm important to God. See, I only got about half of you saying it because some of you think it's arrogant, like God needs you. It's not that God needs you, but you are important to his plan. So try it again. Come on, all the way in the back, all the way in the front, from the right to the left. Say, I'm important to God. Ready, set, go. Almost got you. I've almost got you. I can almost feel confidence. Come on, say it. I am important. Yes, you are. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be here. Now, God doesn't need you to exist. We understand that, but you're the object of his affection. And if God's going to move in the earth, he's got to find Abe. He's got to find somebody that'll believe him. Galatians, writing in the church in Galatia, who is it that works miracles among you? Well, he's talking about specific people working miracles by the Spirit. God uses people. He uses a Moses. He uses an Elijah. He uses an Abraham. He uses a Paul. He uses a Dr. Morocco. He'll use you if you'll have vision and you'll believe God. It is the way that God works. It's amazing to me. He could do such a much better job than me or you. I got like three amens. We're vital to the process. This church would not be here. We would not be here in this incredible building that will one day be paid off. Notice I say that out. You know why? It's vision. I'm speaking it. I'm declaring it. I'm proclaiming it. We're going to plant churches, 1,200 churches, 2025. Going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. There's more than enough provision to do everything God called us to do. I'm the head and not the tail, the lender, not the borrower. Come on, I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It doesn't matter what you look like in the mirror. You might think your nose is too big or you're too thin or I don't know what opinion you might have of yourself. Get in alignment with God's word. Believe his word, believe the vision, and you'll prosper. You'll be in the blessings of God. Vision is not static, it's dynamic, it's constantly changing. We're vital, important to the process. This place would not be here had we not all agreed. There was an incredible agreement. I'm gonna tell you something. Y'all are tough. You're a tough congregation. No, we didn't have people leaving, didn't have people quitting. Took us 8 years to build it. Seven. I'm going to say 7 years. There's some argument there, but 7.5. But I'm still going to call it seven. 7 years. 7 years to build it. What took so long? I don't know. Maybe because you weren't tithing. I don't know. The reason, that's a sucker punch. I'm going to get away from Pastor Karen. I'm going over here. Because there was a lot of opposition. There was a lot of difficulty. The enemy is not happy the fact that this building exists, and not happy the fact that you're here hearing this word and are going to receive vision this morning. And out of receiving that vision, you're going to go on to do great things for God. Some of you already are, but greater and greater things he has. Not 100% sure why it took so long, but honestly, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. And sometimes God says he'll be there in just a second. So you can do the math on all of that. By giving us vision, God is testing us to see if we'll obey him or not, or believe him or not. Vision encourages us when times get difficult. My favorite story here is in the Chevy truck that the church owned when we first got here. It was our plow truck. It had quite a few miles on it. Church was small but growing, and we had to work in Delta Junction. And I went off to Delta Junction with my mother in the truck. Who was in the first service, and Jason Adair and his wife, Mandy, who were the guest speakers. We went up to Delta and we had meetings. The temperature plummeted. I believe when we woke up in the morning, it was 60 below. It warmed up to approximately 40. 40 or 60, there's a difference, certainly, but 40 is cold. I didn't realize you actually should have some cardboard in the front of your truck, you know, to keep the wind from blowing in. It'd probably be a good idea. And you need to put heat in. How many of you know what heat is? You need to put some fuel additive, and don't just put one. Two minimum. I didn't know all that. I was a newbie. So on the way back, I remember opening the hood. And the whole carburetor, everything's just completely frozen. The gel, the fuel gelled, and the fuel pump in the fuel tank died. We're in the middle of nowhere. So the guest speaker takes my mother and they head off to Glen Allen. And I stay with the truck, which I would never do again. I wanted to be a good steward over the truck. So I was told if you leave trucks on the side of the road, many times they're burned. Which I thought about setting the truck on fire after the second hour. I had bunny boots on, which don't do jack. Bunny boots are stupid when you're really in the cold and you got nowhere to go. I mean, I'm sure they're better than your loafers, but some of you don't even know what a loafer is. But I'm telling you, bunny boot, I had all my like emergency stuff and all that. All of it didn't do much as I sat there. There's ice on the inside of my window. I try to do jumping jacks behind the wheel. I did all kinds of stuff, and fear gets all over me. I mean, like, I'm afraid. I've been there for hours. I'm thinking, where's the help? They went to Glen Allen. I'm thinking, they went off the road. They're all dead. Oh, God, I'm gonna die. And all I can think is, cotton will kill you. Cotton will kill you. Cotton will kill you. Apparently, that's true, and that's all I'm wearing. I'm wearing cotton in the truck. I start going to sleep. I can't feel any part of my body, and I start going to sleep, and I realize I'm going into hypothermia. You're going to die. I'm And then it dawned on me, this is not what I came to Alaska for. And it dawned on me the vision that God had given me. He called us up here to see a move of God, to be a part of an outpouring all those years ago. And I had an open vision, just so happened to, but it was certainly in our hearts too, that God would pour out his spirit on the Great Northland, pour out his spirit on Alaska. And the same way that there's a pipeline from the North Slope to Valdez, the golden oil of Zechariah will flow and there'll be a great outpouring that takes place affecting Canada, affecting Russia, affecting China, going down to the lower 48. I had this vision, I had this dream, so it all dawns on me, this is not it. I don't have a vision of dying in this stupid Chevy. Ford, maybe, but not a Chevy. Come on. No, I'm kidding. They're both lame. I'm a Dodge fan. Anyway. Found on the road dead. Anyway. I said, this is not it. God, you called me. God, you called me. You could have a vision outpouring. And I just started saying, God, you're going to pour out your spirit. And before you know it, I had the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit come all over me. I preached, prayed, prophesied over myself, took my own offering. And when it was over, a state trooper pulled up. I got out, and I kid you not, this is what happened. He cracked his window and said, are you called? I said, yeah. Yeah, I'm cold. He said, your mommy sent this to you. And he slides me a granola bar through the window. I'm like, thanks. Can I get in? He said, sure. I got in the back molded seats of the car, which some of you know exactly what those are like. Some of you don't know. Praise the Lord. I asked him to turn the heat up. And then I pushed my large frame through a very small window to get as close to the heaters that were in the front of the car and none in the back. That I can tell. God rescued me. Vision will encourage you when times get difficult. In this particular property, we had all kinds of problems. The visitation from the Lord in my house after that windstorm, without going into the whole story, he said this to me. You can believe what they say, or you can believe what I said. Choose. It's exactly what God said to me. I woke up. Stood up in my house and said, I choose you. My wife was there. I choose you. You're going to do it. You're pouring out your spirit. The building's going to get finished. It's going to get paid for. We're going to plant churches all over the world. There's an outpouring coming to Alaska. God, you're doing it in America. You're releasing revival. You're releasing an outpouring. Oh, the dead will rise. The mute will speak. I just lost my mind. Preaching and praying and declaring the vision. You've got to have a vision for your life. You've got to have a vision, a hope vision, a literal vision. When vision's fulfilled, I mean, who gets the glory right now up in this place? God. Who gets it? God. Don't ever forget it. And when it's all paid off and we have a mortgage burning, who's going to get the glory? God, not us. Vision has been a key to the understanding of this church. It truly is a key to understanding how we've operated. That's how the school was built. That's how the school started. Didn't start because somebody handed us some plan. We've got steps to make, and God is going to fulfill it. And we're walking circumspectly. We're walking with wisdom. He's given us wisdom. We're going to apply it. Oh, the devil hates the school, but he's under our feet. Come on, somebody say amen. And we're going to teach kids to keep the devil under their feet. And we have we'll go through high school eventually, goes to eighth grade. There's still room, 134 students currently, right? Our goal is 150. We can take 170. We'll continue to keep it open until we close it up to eighth grade. We've committed that we will stay ahead of your students. In other words, eighth grade will have a ninth grade offered and then on into high school. You say, how did that happen? It all happened supernaturally by vision. What could God do? What could God do if you could see? If your eyes could be open in your business, if your eyes could be open in your family, it is, somebody say dream. I'm going to dream. I'm going to dream. All right, how does vision come? Keep in mind that getting vision's a fight because Satan wants to rob you. And he wants to discourage you. He wants you to think it's fake or it doesn't really mean anything. God gives vision four ways. Let's move through it quickly. Through a burden, through seeing a need, like Nehemiah. Daniel Wine, Pastor Daniel Wine, had a burden for the homeless. He saw every homeless, knew all the homeless people in the area that he lived. Where they lived, he knew the bushes that they slept under. He knew their names. And he ministered to all of them. He started the ministry now that is, it's called Family Life Center, along with others. And I think they had $10 million or something come through. Amazing impact in the community there in Hawaii. I mean, they've got housing, they feed people, they do all. It all started with a burden. It all started with a burden. The same is true here. We have transformations at 100 to 150 people that meet every week. It's larger than most churches. Every Tuesday they gather. It's going to grow, and it's going to grow and grow, and people are going to get set free. We have a rehabilitation center for men. We have Lighthouse and a home for women. How did that all happen? Well, we saw it modeled through other people, but we had a burden, especially you had a burden. Because if it wasn't for you, I'm not going to say, you know, we wouldn't have done it. God had raised up somebody else, but you have a burden like I don't have. I mean, I love people, but you're troubled by it in a wonderful way. So it can come through a burden. Another way that it can come is through a challenge, David and Goliath. David was challenged. I've told this story before, but I'm going to leave the details out. When we first had this building project, I took the plans and went to go talk to a professional person that could help us. Well, I rolled the plans out and showed them everything. They couldn't stop laughing at me. No, I mean not like kind of laughing. I mean like belly laughing and then apologize. I'm sorry. I'm like, this is a little awkward, you know, man. They're still laughing. And then when they got their breath and they were able to like quench their humor, they said, you can't build this here. I said, why not? It's too big. This is Wasilla. You can't build this in Wasilla. I stood up and said, oh, we're building it. He said, you can't do it. I said, well, yes, we will. Thanks. I shook his hand. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. I was just trying to be a gentleman. Pastor Karen trained me right. Invited them to the grand opening. They weren't able to make it because we're here. Can't show me that in scripture. God brings to fruition every vision and dream if you'll contend and do what is required to do it. It can come through a prophetic word. I prophesy the things that God wants to do through you, through your business, through your family, through the school, through what the vision that he releases to you, he's going to bring it to pass. Don't put him in a box. Prophetic word. Through an experience, either vicariously or personally. What do you mean? This is how God releases visions four ways. If you hang out with people that have vision, listen, you're getting vision right now because you're a part of this service. You're hearing it. It's going in. I'll take trips to be with people. I remember one specific trip to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I went there and got to hang with the Stockstills. And you might not know who that is, but they're a great family in the kingdom and was deeply impacted. While I was there, I just so happened to have lunch with Reinhard Bonnke. Now, Reinhard Bonnke is basically the Billy Graham of all of Europe. So if you don't know who Reinhard Bonnke is, that's who he is. He's had the largest gatherings of people in the world ever. Millions of people. He shared with me at these gatherings that you couldn't see them all because of the curvature of the earth. And I know that some of you are flat earthers, so you might not understand what that means. The curvature of the earth, he said you would lose people. Millions, 3.2 million. I mean, and I got to sit there and listen to him say things like God spoke to him and said, my word in your mouth is the same as my word in my mouth. And he just imparted things into me. You can get vision by hanging out with visionaries, by being with people who are changing the world. And like, there's no excuse now because there's YouTube and there's podcasts. You can connect with people that are changing the world and you can get that down in your spirit and become a visionary yourself. God's plan for you is to move in power through vision. Vision's a work of the Spirit. Everybody say vision's a work of the Spirit. Vision is a work of the Spirit. So you got to keep vision burning bright. You got to stay on fire. If it's a work of the Spirit, you got to stay on fire. So how do you stay on fire? Good question. By seeking the Lord through fasting and prayer. I was so blessed on Saturday morning when I came and Brother Dwayne Hall was leading the morning time of prayer. And Brother Dwayne Hall is going to be taking over our men's ministry in the coming fall, and we're excited about that. Amen. And as he was teaching, he was talking about the uniqueness of this church. And to, I think, to his previous pastor, you know, what's so different about Kings? What's so different about that place? And he discovered that it's prayer. One of the things that's different is we pray. All of my pastor friends and those online, those of you young friends that you're, these massive works, if you don't pray, the enemy will pick you off. You won't make it. You've got to pray. To quote one friend of mine, if you don't see me on my knees, you better pray for me. You got to be on your knee. You got to be praying. If you're going to see vision come to pass, you have to be connected with the one who gave it to you. And you have to realize that there's war. There's battle. There's war. There's war of your flesh. There's war of the world. There's war of the devil. And he wants us all to get offended and suspended. And he wants us all to quit. He wants us all to just give up and say, where is God? No, you have to pray and stay connected to the one with the same spirit. The same spirit. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. And you got to get around people and agree. Touch and agree concerning things in the earth and it'll be done, praying in his name. You seek the Lord through fasting and prayer. I fast throughout the week on and off. Three-quarter fast, mostly. I don't eat on Sunday morning. I fast up until the afternoon and then I eat. But fasting and prayer is something you need to do. If you're gonna see vision come to pass, come on, lift your hands and say, God, help me stay on fire. Come on, say, God, help me to stay on fire. So stay on fire. Some of you need the fire. Some of you don't have any. You've come to the right place. God wants to move in unprecedented ways. It starts with vision. Fasting and prayer will keep you on fire. Another way, it's by having people pray for us, having others pray for us. Difficult week for the church because of the loss of a precious little boy and others. There's people grieving and we're certainly a part of that. I called my pastor. I called Dr. Morocco. I told him the whole story. And he said, oh, Daniel, that's hard. I said, I know. And he said, let me pray for you. And he prayed. And when he prayed for me, God's power came on me. You know, everyone needs a pastor. We all need people that we can lean on. People that can pray. If you need prayer, ask. Get prayer. The reason your friend got touched by God in the hospital is because Josh harassed me to pray in the wonderful way. Do it anytime you want, anytime. Prayer changes things. Who's praying for you? Who's covering you in prayer? And you can't delegate that. Nobody can take your place in prayer. You have to take it. You take your place in prayer. Until then, people are praying for you that you would pray. It's so crucial to have people praying for us and to have the ministry of the laying on of hands. And it says of Joshua that Joshua was filled with wisdom because Moses laid his hands on him. Think about that. Another way to keep vision burning brightly, to keep the fire burning, is to write down the vision, write it down and speak it forth. That's why you hear me constantly saying, the building will be paid off and we'll have a mortgage burning. Before that, we were reaching out towards the hill. Back in Lucille, I said, every time you drive by, reach your hands out. How many of you were here? How many of you remember that? Reach your hands out and say what? Grace. Grace, grace. What does that come from? It comes from Zechariah 4. I preached on that. I preached on that message. I prophesied it. I declared it. We all agreed. I was riding with you in your car, and your son was in the back seat, riding. Your son is sitting next to me. Church is standing there, but I think we had another year or two to go. Your son is doing something on his phone, and as we're driving by, he's aware of where we are, and he says, grace, grace. I'm like, wow, generational thing. That is how it is. You teach him, Abraham. You teach your Isaac. You teach him. You teach him. You pass it on. Vision. Write it down. Speak it forth. Your kids ought to know what you're believing for in your family. Your kids ought to know what they're believing for with your loved ones. You got to share that. Next, by acting on the vision that you have. If you don't take steps of faith on what you're doing now, why would God give you more? I've said this before, but and I'm starting to close. I've said this before. I had a vision when I first gave my life to Jesus of make it one more day. That was a good vision. And make it one more day turned into make it one more day after that. And then there was a vision for like make it like without destroying myself for the next week. It was so broken. Super broken. I know from other people that have told me later, they said, oh, well, you were rough when you came in. I'm like, whatever. Dr. Morocco would preach messages. One of my pastors was brain damaged when he came in the church. I still hear it. One of those was brain damaged when he came in. I always wondered who it was. I started to get an idea, like, I think it, because like, I mean, it could be Pastor Chris, but I'm pretty sure it isn't. Oh, okay. I'm trying to think. I think he's talking about me. So I asked him, I said, hey, you know when you talk about that pastor that had brain damage? He's like, yeah. I'm like, who is he? He says, it's you. I'm like, me? I didn't come in here brain damaged. And there was another pastor that was listening. He said, yeah, you did. And the other pastor's like, he wasn't even part of the conversation. Totally rude. Says, oh yeah, Bracken, totally brain damaged, bro. If you will learn to dream, if you learn to have vision, it does not matter what pile you climbed out from under, he can change you and he can set you on fire and use you. God is looking for a people who would believe him. He's looking for an Abraham. He's looking for an Isaac. He's looking for a Jacob. He's looking for someone who will have vision and take steps of faith. Act on the vision that you have. Mayor Edna believed that God spoke to her to put her name in for the governorship. So she has. That's called vision. That's called steps of faith. What are you going to do? What are you going to believe for? And like I said, mine was, let's live another week. Start small. Sure. I've known people that have like, oh, after that message, oh, I'm going off to change the world. Everything's going to change. Okay, well, let's talk about your hygiene and let's start paying your bills. Let's get some things together. Hello? You're like, I'm gonna change the world, but you can't change your shorts. Yes. Learn to change your shorts. Lift your hands to heaven and say, he ain't talking about me. I don't know who he's talking about. Yeah. Oh, and soon You'll be changing your shorts on a regular basis. And soon, you'll learn to tie your own shoes. And soon, you'll be walking in confidence and power and authority. And you'll no longer be offended by people that look at you that aren't looking at you. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands to Jesus and say, Lord, open my eyes. Now, some of your eyes are open, but I'm telling you, there's another level. Lord, open my eyes. We're going to take communion. Ushers, would you go ahead and serve? As the ushers are serving, remaining in your seats, I've made a decree, and it's on the screen. And I want you to go ahead and, it's biblical. It lines up with everything I just preached to you. So as you're serving ushers up and down the aisles, and once everybody's served, we'll take communion. We're taking communion every Sunday until we stop, at least for 4 weeks. Are you ready? You see it? Are you ready to read it from your heart? You ready? Are you ready? You ready?
Yes.
Come on, read with me. Say, I decree and declare. Come on, all together, ready, set, go. I decree and declare that my eyes are open to see what God sees. I will not be moved by fear, come on, but by faith in the one who surrounds me with his power. The vision God has planted in my heart will grow and it will come to pass. Come on, say it with conviction. I see the fulfillment before it happens and I will walk in it. Come on, media people. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I will not lose hope. Come on, read it. I will not quit. I will not be blinded by the enemy's lies. I choose to see the armies of the Lord, not the armies of the enemy. I believe the miracle is already in motion. I will live to see it fulfilled in Jesus' name. Shout amen. Come on, give a bigger amen. Hallelujah.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.